Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
By your transgression, you receive the atomic bullet to the ass!
Good!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I fall and then I can't get up!
Here he is the turtle. All right. she fills the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Radio. Government. Freedom. Law. Education. Health. Free energy. Money. Debt. Awake Radio, deconstructing the dream world, one lie at a time.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you? You know, for a second there, yeah, I kind of did.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The turbo. Always working to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've got a whole bunch of honorable knights sitting around the round table this morning, mostly giving me a rash because I'm not sure exactly how long my grandbaby is, 19 inches or what. How you guys doing around there? Yeah, I was just thinking about the whole cycle of life thing, man. I just, to me, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. You know, we sit around and talk about all the problems that's going on in the world today, and it's just, you know, sometimes that can become overwhelming, but events like this, whenever you're getting a new life come into the world there, little Rylance was born yesterday, my second grandbaby from my daughter, and boy, I tell you, just to watch these children grow up is such a joy, it's such a blessing. I know that some of y'all have had that opportunity as well, but man, I tell you what, I'm overwhelmed sometimes because I've got a lot of great friends around the world, some amazing folks that we've met via these alternative media networks, and, you know, my family, my friends, and it's just, you know, I'm thankful, you know. I'm thankful for you guys, I'm thankful for my children, and looking forward to the next grandchild, you know. Kind of makes me feel old when I see my baby having babies. What do you guys think?
You're a sucker for punishment.
I'm telling you.
I love it.
Well, boys, we've had a couple of extra gentlemen entering to the conversation with us here. Shaziz, you've got your good friend Live Mike and James Swagger with us here.
All right, boys. Welcome, hey, guys.
Shaziz, welcome, everybody. How are you?
Pretty good.
Top of the morning, though.
I couldn't be better.
Did I see a message saying you have a new baby?
Yeah, my daughter just had little baby Rylance last night. She spent the whole day getting here, but you know, it was well worth the wait. The kid, cute baby. She got her good looks from Grandpa.
Another little
terrible.
Yeah, it's a genetic thing, you know. All that them little cuteness kids coming around. Don't everybody jump at once.
Yes, nine and a half months long.
9 and a half months?
Yeah.
Well, I got at least the 8 pounds, 11 ounces thing right. I'm not sure about the whole 19 inches long thing. I'll have to check with Coltus because he's got the inside scoop.
Yeah, he's in Australia. He's psychic.
So, how you guys doing today?
Elongated. I'm sorry.
I'm good. I've only got about 20 minutes because I'm doing a show from my book, but I just wanted to check in because I've never done Knights of the Round Table, so here I am, guys, my first Knights of the Round Table.
Woohoo!
Well, I think this is number 65 or 66. I'll have to look.
Automatically, he has just become Sir James Swagger.
Yeah,
Sir James.
Just by standing up here tonight, you are Sir James Swagger.
That's right.
Well, I'll have to correct everybody on radio shows now when they refer to me as anything else.
That's right. You tell them you are one of the knights.
Say, no, I'm a knight of the round table. You shall refer to me as Sir.
Sir. Well, you know, I tell you what, like I said, you know, with all the craziness going on in the world, if you don't step back and look at the big picture and see the blessings that are around you, you're cheating yourself, man. There's still a lot of wonderful things going on in the world. We still got to keep a vigilant eye on the world and keep each other informed and do all the things that we've been doing for the last several years, you know, on the nights and all the different alternative networks. I think what we're doing is a really amazing thing. The fact that we can bring people from all over the world to do what it is we're doing is just, to me, it's incredible. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's even more incredible to bring your granddaughter from the belly out into the real world. It's great.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm glad to be a knight of the round table, seeking the solutions, helping out, doing my part. And, one of the great motivations is to inform as many people, you know, of the things they need to know about and spread the message of peace, love, and yeah, and all that. I guess I saw James Flash down here. I better give him a turn.
Yeah, can I just give are we on a rotation here, are we? Can I just take a chance to say hello to Muddy Muddy Madman?
Muddy Muddy Madman? Is that what you said?
Muddy Muddy Mudman, sorry. I can't read it right.
No, you're wrong the first time. It's Muddy Muddy Madman.
Muddy Muddy Mudman.
Hey, James.
Did you ever get your purpose? Oh, yeah. Sorry, who's that? Infinity Squared.
That's me. I'm wondering, you mentioned something about your book. What, you write a book or something? What do you got going on there, James?
Yes, I wrote a book. I'll drop it in the box for you. Why not have a copy of it? I love giving my book away.
Yeah. How many copies have you sold so far?
Actually, I sold 300.
Oh, really? Good. You're just like handing it out so often. No, I'm like surprised. Someone's actually like, dude, do you want
to check how many books I've sold?
Yeah,
I've sold 300 just from the Red Eyes Radio, Tom Michael. I've sold more than that.
Well, while you're here, give your book a plug, James.
Yeah.
My book is The New Grand Serious Mystery, Delving into Ancient Cosmology, predominantly in Ireland, but across the Megalithic Empire.
And where can people purchase a copy of your magnificent book?
Knights don't have to purchase it.
Knights don't.
Oh, no way.
But if they did not turn up in the chat room tonight,
they would go to jamesswagger.com.
There we go to jamesswagger.com.
Yep. jamesswagger.com. And you'll find my radio shows there and everything else I do.
Awesome. And, Kent, seeing as you have just mentioned your book, loud and proud on air.
My book.
Tell us about your book, Mr. Anderson.
Well, I wrote it a few years ago.
Halfway through it, you'll be quite pleasantly surprised.
There you go, guys.
Very good. We'll check his book out here. No, my book is Saving Planet Earth, A Practical Hands-On Approach.
Oh, my God, he wasn't lying. She was born 19 inches long.
Aha! See? Bragging rights. Woo!
What the heck do you give birth to over there, man?
Hey, we feed our kids good.
I wrote to Bev. My exact words were, "Oh man, you certainly love him. Reliance was born 19 inches, he tells me. Please, darling, how long was she?" She's written back, she was 8 pounds, 11 ounces, and 19 inches long.
Woo-hoo! King Shazam's the Terrible!
That is insane. That's like, come on, dude.
Kids ready to play basketball.
Yeah.
See, my boy, he was 10 pounds 9 ounces or 10 pounds 6 ounces, I think. He was a big boy.
Good, healthy American boy there, she
is.
Yeah. It's, see, it's all genetic, because, you know, old King Shazza Terrible's a good-looking super genius of epic proportions. Ask me, I'll tell you.
Shazza, I gotta ask you a question, Shazza. I was flipping through my Facebook thing, and I stumbled upon one of your recent videos, the Nikolai Tesla's death ray machine. I had to stop and look at that. Shazza, what on earth have you been off to lately, man?
Well, I wanted to see if I could make a Tesla coil with a directional top load, you know? I mean, you know you can make directional antennas for Wi-Fi and stuff like that. I just wanted to see if it was possible to focus that energy coming off the top load in a specific direction. And you can see in the video, there's three monitors in the background, and you can only one of them, which the antenna's actually aiming towards, is disrupted by the beam that comes out. And actually, while this thing's running, it's got a capacitor layer in there that stores up energy. And so when you see the last portion of it, I left that in there intentionally because it's really funny. As I aimed it towards my camera, it disrupted my camera, and it makes it sound like I'm talking in slow motion, and I about died laughing when I watched the replay on that, but it's actually a directional beam on that top load.
Wild, man. That was really cool.
Now, depending on what frequency you run through there, it'll be depending on, you know, whether it be a so-called death ray, so to speak, but I'm just looking at it for the directional energy deal, you know. I figured this out with my Wi-Fi. There's some videos you can go out there. Now, we weren't getting good Wi-Fi signal over at the new house, and so I built one of those little directional aluminum antennas that go behind your Wi-Fi antenna and was able to send the beam over there a little stronger. And so that gave me the idea that I wanted to see if I could do that with a Tesla coil to focus all that energy in one direction. Now, I'm pretty impressed with the coils on this thing, because if you listen in the video, I talk about I'm running this thing backwards. I'm using the two secondaries as the primary in this particular video, and I'm doing it low powered, of course. And so the aluminum cable that I use is actually the same stuff that we use to run the power line for the house. It's pretty thick gauge aluminum wire. And that aluminum is really good for picking up the radiant energy off the top load, you know, off the Tesla coil. And so if you see in there, as I'm touching that what would have been the primary, it's the secondary, it's not connected at the top or the bottom. So that is all radiant energy that it's picking up. So that thing's putting off a really good strong field.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah, it worked out a little bit better than I thought it was going to. I mean, I was just trying to do an experiment to see if I could actually direct the energy coming off that top load in a specific direction, and it worked. And all the way up until I aimed it towards my camera, you know, still had a little energy stored in there, so before I ever even got the thing going, I was already sounding, you know, like I was going in slow motion. It's funny. Have you seen the back half of that video yet, Mike?
You know, I didn't get that far. I started watching it. I saw you test it where you put the like you were holding up a conductive material in front of the thing and it was lighting up.
Yeah, you gotta go watch the last half of it. You'll get a good laugh.
And I was just like, oh my god. I'm just like, oh boy, okay. But that was only 3 days ago that you posted that thing, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, I think so. Me and Larry, my lab assistant guy, we were measuring it out, and we got about 21 feet away from it and was still registering on my little meter. And keep in mind, that's low powered, so, you know, it does work.
I'll have to check the rest of it, man. I didn't stick around for it. It's only a 15-minute video. I should have hung in there, but I will watch it. Don't worry.
Yeah,
I'll put the link in the box for everybody.
You'll get a definite laugh. What'd you say, James?
He never finishes anything. He's terrible.
Knock him off.
But anyway, yeah, if anybody needs any diagrams on how to build that, I'm going to try to put another video together on basically a how-to on there, because I really liked the way it came out. It worked out real well. That capacitor layer is literally sandwiched in between what would have been the two secondaries, and so it's picking up a lot of energy on that capacitor. And I found out that it held a good charge whenever I was messing with it while it wasn't turned on, and it still had a charge in that capacitor, and it lit me up pretty good.
Thus the hairdo.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta have the mad science hair when you're talking about a death ray, you know.
Yeah, or people don't believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now,
what you have to do is you have to test it on an orange or something like that and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got
that was the executive decision to put the question mark at the end of the word death ray, wasn't it?
Smart idea.
Thank you.
If I pump up the energy that I'm putting into it, I'm taking it outside before I fire it up again, because just a little bit of test what I did right there, you could see it's got a pretty strong field. If you watch it real close, you'll see that monitor in the back. When I very first turn it on, it gets a little fuzzy, but every time I tap the ground to it, then you'll see that monitor really get real good and white and fuzzy. And then you know, like I said, don't aim it towards your camera, because it plays heck with the camera.
I'm thinking you try that thing with the oranges is, and if it works out well, I mean, you could market this thing to Florida and you know, give a whole new meaning to freshly squeezed oranges.
Oh yeah, like I can just see it. You could sell smoking orange to people.
No. You should make the John Hutchinson self squeezing orange.
I love it. Yeah, when
yours gets to be about 6 inches wide, that's time to close your eyes.
Yes, that's the one.
No,
Hey, Moody.
Go ahead.
Did Moody ever get his pyramid built?
Did I what?
Did you ever get your pyramid built?
No, I haven't. Basically, I've been so busy with everything, and I was planning on doing something with it this weekend, but I kind of got tied up with Jeff Kelly, man, one of my favorite people out there, and we've had a ball. I took him on the show there yesterday. We were 7.5 hours doing the first voice program for Muddy Radio at all, and well, we had a ball afterward. I think we almost took it around the clock, and he posted it up on his deal there. He's got a terrestrial radio station coming up, and he wants to piggyback Shaziz Radio as well, so that's good news to you, old great king.
Oh, that's great. While I'm thinking about it, I got to thank you for covering our shows yesterday. You know, we had to run out the door when we got the call about the grandbaby.
Oh, there's no need to thank, man. Me and Cultus were talking for like 2 or 3 hours about how we couldn't get on, and when you set the server, I was ready to go. Yep. And I was having a ball. I said, "Yeah, I get this. Yeah. I get to put all this out there because Jeff Kelly, he hadn't been on the radio in a while, and he kind of got hooked a couple weeks ago when we put him on there, and he's been dying to get back on there. And he was like, "Oh, come on, you find some way there." And I'll say, "Yeah, Shaziz is going to be proud, man. We're going to put the duct tape and the baling wire and the bread tie wrapper, twisty ties and." A little bit of super glue, and we got it all figured out. And we actually did the show, the pre-show, where we jumped the gun and made kind of made a fool of our reasoning here for getting on there early. But you know, I wouldn't have traded that one for nothing, man. I didn't get no tears in my eyes, but my stomach's a little sore, and that was only an hour and a half. We had a ball. Especially picking on you when you wasn't in school.
That's great.
I will put that pot on my page for you.
All right.
Yes. That pot has to go up.
Shaziz, I want to ask you a question. And yeah. This kind of ties into what James just said. Have you ever done any research with geometric shapes and their effect on electromagnetism or anything like that?
Well, you
frequencies
know,
or anything like that?
You know that Tesla's favorite shape was the sphere, and it's for a reason. If you you could try this yourself. I know Cultus could do this. If you have a Tesla coil, or essentially any magnetic field, if you take your tester, you can actually trace it around in a perfect sphere around that magnetic field. So yeah, I have done certain tests like that, and I don't know if you've ever noticed that aluminum foil pyramid that's hanging from my ceiling from a piece of hemp rope. That thing makes a perfect antenna. Did that answer your question?
There's been tests done, Michael. Sorry, I just let you jump. There's a test done on seeds and how they germinate on the top of ancient pyramids all around the world. Mostly the ancient ones are more actually effective, but what John Deere used to go around all these and check them with electrostatic meters, and when the magnetic field of the earth is coming back online are more productive in the early hours of the morning, they would take seeds up there to the top of the pyramids and charge them basically in the magnetic field that's around the pyramids, whatever how weak it was. And what they did was they planted the seeds then, and they got a 30% higher yield out of the seeds for germination.
Wow.
Isn't there some granite inside that pyramid?
Oh, yeah, well, inside the Great Pyramid there's a pink granite and black granite. But, yeah, that comes from Aswan, 500 miles away. 500-ton slabs of granite comes like 500-ton.
But granite has a electrical quality to it.
Yeah, they have piezoelectric quartz components. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pyramids around the world. Even ancient sites, like, they use crystalline content in the stone. Even Stonehenge uses these blue Saracen stones because of the blue crystalline structure in them.
And I also use a lot of quartz because quartz has some pretty unique qualities to it as well.
And as well as that, in Ireland they have things called round towers here, which basically are similar to an obelisk, but they're actually something you can walk around inside of, because they're basically a tall cone, not a tall circle, like they're tall conical with a very sharp point on it. If you just Google Irish round towers, they're relatively recent, not as old as the obelisks of Egypt, but in the same way they're like ion generators, and they sap energy out of the atmosphere. Now, whether they knew that or not is relevant, like, but I mean the grass always grows greener and lusher and thicker and more vibrant around the round tower and any other crops as well, like.
You know, James, you said something a second ago with the seeds germinating from their exposure at the top of a pyramid, and then Shaziz said something about the use of quartz. Didn't ancient civilizations use crystals for fertility?
Yeah, they use the quartz for fertility reasons as well. Well, that helps the production of melatonin, which affects fertility. People think that the quartz is an electromagnetic effect for fields, but I think certainly for the megalithic chambers of Ireland, they use them for fertility. But that's a specific case. Yeah, they use quartz for many things, Michael. You know, I think they use them for chakra points in the Sumerian civilization as like pendants. These Sumerian seals were made out of quartzes and lapis lazuli, stuff that came like 1,000 miles away to the empire. You know, they had people going out looking for crystals. I think there's many reasons for the crystals.
James, are you familiar with the Aqua Aura gold bonded quartz?
Aqua Aura gold bonded quartz. No, but the sound of it, I just want some now.
Well, it says it's very high spiritual vibrations, profound peace during meditation, deepened spiritual attunement and communication, active throat chakra, communication from the heart, enhances healing properties of other crystals, physical healing, immune system, strokes, carpal tunnel, metabolic imbalances. Now, this particular crystal right here is a little blue crystal. It's quartz, and if you've ever looked at my plasma reactor, in between the two or the three spectrum tubes, I'm using this particular crystal because if you get the wrong frequency vibrating through this, it will literally shatter that crystal. And so I'm actually using on the plasma reactor that particular crystal for a fuse for if I hit the wrong frequency on that plasma reactor, it will vibrate that crystal, shatter the glass, and break the field of the electricity coming through.
That keeps you safe from runaway effect, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so I figured, you know, if I'm going to use any particular crystal, I want one that's very high spiritual vibration for peace.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
The reason they say that different crystals have different heating properties is because of the different structure. You got hexagonal, you got trihexagonal, you got pyramidal in the shape of diamond and stuff like that. So each one has its own atomic array, like, and that's perhaps how they react to different frequencies. So I'll be interested to see what the internal array of that one is.
Well, it's been some time ago that one of my viewers on my deal asked me if I ever messed around with I can't remember what they call them, where you put like metal inside of like resin or whatever. I can't remember what they call those doggone things.
Argonite.
Yeah, there you go, argonite. But they asked me.
I'm wearing the Egyptian flower of life, argonite pendant as we speak. You gave it to me presently.
They asked me to do a little bit of experiments with those, just to, you know, see what kind of effects I would get out of them and different types of crystals. And since I know that quartz has piezoelectric, that's the one that I lean the most towards, using quartz.
Wow.
But anyway, if I was going to get a spiritual effect, I wanted it to be a good one, so I used that one there in my fuse.
Wow. I wonder how much it would cost to make a pyramid out of organite.
Oh, well, you could probably do it fairly reasonable.
Yeah. It's got your engineering place, and like just offer to pick up all this swarfing. There's half the material.
All the resin does is mixes it into a...
It's holds it together, mate.
Yeah, it holds that. Yeah, it's
correct me if I'm wrong, James.
You're gonna need one heck of a mold.
Correct me if I'm wrong, James. Aren't these organite things essentially to break up bad frequencies?
Yeah, people put them in their houses around their tellies and you know, the Wi-Fi and the routers and that. Like, that's a lot. Mostly, they're invented in 1930, something like that.
So
mostly people.
So essentially,
this is by the same dude who came up with that Cloudbuster machine, wasn't it?
Could be. I don't know if the Cloudbuster.
So essentially, in the Tesla world,
it's the same. Yeah, thanks, Ken. Sorry, what did you say his name was, Ken?
William Reich.
William Reich. That's it.
So essentially, in the Tesla world, that would be like the equivalence of a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way, that's what it is. It's a Faraday cage to a specific, because if you put this into a pyramid organite, the Faraday cage is a pyramid Faraday cage. Or if you make it into some other organite shape, it's holding to that shape. So yeah, a Faraday cage for the geometry that it's trying to represent.
Okay.
Cool.
I bet it'd make one powerful pyramid. That's what I was the thought of, and doggone, I mean, I bet I'd have to be rich to build it with it, but...
Well, if you think about the pyramid shape...
But it's...
Sorry, go ahead.
Guys, just on the Great Pyramids, the limestone that they use is very unusual. It's unusual in that there's two types of limestone. One has a very high magnesium content, which is what that actually, the Great Pyramids built out of. So, effectively... The casing stones were different as well, and it would have acted like a capacitor as well.
Yeah.
But the casing stones were snugly fitting, but the solid core masonry limestone got a magnesium content in it. So, you know, there's weird stuff going on there. But in fairness, the granite that's used is only inside what they call the King's Chamber. So, you know, it's not all made out of granite and crystal, but there is a high magnesium content in the Great Pyramid, so it is effectively like an organite. Yeah, instead of it having a resin to hold it all together, it's already in the stone, and then the stone all fits together to make a shape of a pyramid.
Well, with that said, if the folks were right and the actual purpose of the pyramids were to be an energy machine, essentially, then the pyramid shape itself is the perfect antenna. You can test that out yourself. You'll get a great field off of a pyramid, or, you know, even a sphere as far as power wise. So, you know, Do you know the directions of which the pyramids are actually facing, you know, as far as north and south wise on the corners or whatever?
Yeah, well, the Great Pyramid faces 360 of a degree off true north, which is what I always tell people about. They're talking about this tilt of the axis changing, and it's like the Great Pyramid had to be, if the axis of the tilt did ever change in the past, which it has done, it had to have changed, before the Great Pyramid was built. Like, so people that are talking about, you know, the Great Pyramid being more older than it is, like, you know, if you want to ignore some carbon dating of the Great Pyramid, but like, that's why I always point people to that it is almost true north. It's actually more accurate than Greenwich Mean Time. Greenwich Mean Time with laser precision accuracy is 9/60 of a degree, like three minutes.
It covers.
It's three times more accurate than Greenwich Mean Time that we did in our modern civilization. Like,
well, there you go. It faces the four points of the compass, and it's got flat sides and pointy sides as well. So you know, it makes an awesome antenna.
Yeah,
so
it's actually an unusual angle as well, at 53 degrees. It's not like a 45 degree, which most people just assume before they look at it. And it's actually only at that unusual angle that it reflects radar from outer space. Only at that angle. Now, I'm not saying there's people down there reflecting stuff off the Great Pyramid, but, you know, it is actually the only angle that perfectly reflects radar. Like, you know, if you actually... if you had radar zooming in on the planet, you would see an anomaly on the Great Pyramid. You would see a geometric design in a radar image line.
So, my deal is for the dimensions. That's one of the things holding me back there. If I take all my, if I take four sticks for the base and four sticks for the cathedral part of it, or the pinnacle part, they would all be the same and come out at that 53 degrees. Is that correct, or am I fouled there?
Say that again, Woody. Everything will come out of that.
Okay, if I'm building a framework, you got the square at the bottom. All right, the length of the bottom square is the same length as the four that go up and meet as a point, correct?
No, that'll be a 45 degree pyramid. To get that 53 angle, you'd have to change the pitch to suit. It's an unusual pyramid. Actually, the Great Pyramid is actually eight-sided, by the way. It's actually not four-sided. When you look at it, each side has a concave deflection there. In other words, as you look down on it, you would, from the top elevation, looking down on the Great Pyramid, you'll see eight sides. Now, this is only revealed on a solstice every year. Like, you know, you always, I'm not sure if it's a solstice or an equinox, but what happens is, because it's got these, so every side that you say there's four sides, one of those four sides actually has two. There's a line split down from the top right down to the bottom. It kicks in a bit, basically.
Almost like a satellite dish?
Yeah, almost like the satellite dish line. So, I mean, what happens is, on an equinox, what happens is, they clearly did this as well, so that when the equinox hit it, it would actually show the shadow on these two lines, but you can't see it with the naked eye until the equinox, because it's so slight. It's a very, very slight thing. Now, Egyptologists have turned around and gone, yeah, it accidentally, you know, caved in simultaneously at the right amount of soil. They can't even comprehend that it's actually, you know, eight-sided. You know, nobody can even get their head around what you can build a four-sided pyramid at that scale, at that size. And by the way, it's built on bedrock as well. And probably the reason they chose that location, because it's got, like, you know, 2.25 million tons of stone, like. 6 million tons, sorry, each 2.25 million stones, and each one on average about 2 or 3 tons, like. So it weighs about 6 million tons, like. So it had to be built on bedrock, like, because you couldn't even put foundation in, it would have sank, like, it was so heavy. But so to get something at that size, at that scale, incredibly hard. But I mean, to build it at eight sides, kicking inwards, like, you know, and then, I mean, to have the accuracy, you can't even get the sheet of paper between the casing stones, you know, it's mind-boggling, like, mind-boggling.
James, there is a question in the chat box that just got thrown in.
Oh, you have a chat box.
Yeah, by the head of the Scottish Sovereigns on the Land radio show, website, and he asks,
The side question, he says, the harp has been present in Ireland since the 1200s. Subsequent was present in Scotland since the 800s. Has anyone looked deeper into the healing frequencies of music? And have you had any success? And then he writes solfeggio frequency, etc. You know anything about that? Yeah.
I do, yeah. I've done that from my Megadeth Acoustics book, and there's a whole host of frequencies. Solfeggio tune into certain patterns that our brainwaves seem to react to. It, basically any frequency or any type of music, especially the harp, because the harp works on many octaves, and it's incredibly sophisticated, but any type of music really changes your brain state, your alpha state, beta, and theta frequencies, like, you know. You basically relax to music, like everybody knows that. But stringed instruments build up resonance a lot more. That's what they're made to do. They resonate at a certain length of string, like. So when you have multiple resonances, that's why the harp is so powerful. And it was a Welsh girl did actual tests on the harp to people with depression, and she was able to elate them out of depression, like, you know, by doing regular sittings with them, listening to harp music and watching the effects. And they have done tests, and it has been proven, Mike. But I mean, systemic drumming can affect the theta frequencies as well, so, you know, there's a whole lot of research going on into you know, frequencies, and it's not just necessarily stringed instruments, although stringed instruments affect resonance more and a certain type of brain state. However, the theta frequencies are more controlled or channeled by the effect of drumming. So 5 to 7 times a second is beating a drum is 5 to 7 hertz, and 5 to 7 hertz is the effect that your brain works at. And it's not really anything mystical or magical. Basically, you listen to a drum beat at 5 to 7 times a second, you will go into the theta state. You will just go into a trance, and you basically, your brain relaxes, but in a theta frequency while you're awake. That's the thing, it's a conscious theta frequency, like, you know, so you're aware of your theta frequency. And I've done this recently with Gary Evans, testing theta frequency at ancient monuments, and you know, it's mind-blowing. I stepped out of the monument and I was like, just like relaxed, like I was hypnotically relaxed, like, you know, but still conscious, like. It's a bizarre state, like. It's, but not a bad thing. I know, it's not like I felt better for it. I just was calmer and more relaxed, and you know, felt better for it, like, in terms of being like in my usual heightened state of awareness. But yeah, but I mean, just on this of solfeggio, there's a whole frequency. They're just basically referred to so a certain band of frequencies. The solfeggio.
Hey, James. Thing. Yeah, the Nikola Tesla figured that the Earth resonated at 7.54 hertz, and claimed that it was the resonance of time at that time.
Wow. You know, he didn't want that harp technology getting out because it's on extremely low frequencies as well, and he thought that that would hurt the 7 hertz brain frequencies, and he thought it would be damaging. That's why he didn't want harp out there. But yeah, he was aware of this 7 hertz. I wasn't aware that it was the frequency of time, though. But yeah, Tesla just thought in terms of frequencies. He knew frequencies of any level, of any magnitude. His whole world was frequencies, like. He understood frequencies, like.
Well, that's see, whenever you watch a lot of these Tesla coil videos, you notice that they're energizing fluorescent bulbs, but Tesla was also energizing tungsten element bulbs, the old Edison bulbs, and that's because he was able to get that tungsten element to vibrate at the frequency that it would actually cause it to heat up just like a regular light bulb. And so he was able to light up not like just fluorescent bulbs, but tungsten bulbs as well.
Yeah, this is something that I think is it reminds me a lot of Dr. Royal Raymond Rife. He used frequencies in health. And one of the great things that he was able to do is his discoveries in the mortal oscillatory rate of pathogens and microorganisms inside the human body. And he would target the specific frequency that would literally shake apart a virus or the cellular wall of any kind of, disease or anything you can think of, any kind of microorganism that was inside the human body, and I would literally shake it apart and destroy it. And it was just revolutionary. In the 1930s, the guy was able to do it with cancer cells. So it's just a remarkable thing. So there's another
Personally, I'm a firm believer in Raymond Rice equipment because of certain things that I've actually seen in my lab. But, you know, frequencies are powerful. I mean, you can get just a basic example. You know, there's some songs out there that you'll listen to that'll make you sick to your stomach. I mean, you'd think the artist was just terrible, but the music itself, it just doesn't jive. So, you know, you got these songs out there that are really super uplifting. My wife likes listening to like Celtic music because it seems to be uplifting. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, different music.
There's definitely effects. Some happy music.
I'm not too sure about Celtic music. That's a bit of a personal taste thing going on there, I think. But yeah. I actually quite enjoy, and this will be a personal taste thing, I actually quite enjoy listening to classical music when I'm driving down the highway.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's just an Australian thing.
No. It's like, you know, you get down the main street of Adelaide and just turn that stuff right up, mate.
So, he's listening.
Yeah, classical music, definitely. I also think if you've ever listened to the human voice in chant, that's
I've got a visual of Celtis driving through Australia listening to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Nice.
Yelling out the window, 19 inches.
Hey,
I have a subject.
And all the women are yelling back to improve it.
I've got a subject I'd like some opinions on if you guys have any.
All right.
Have any of you heard of earthing, a health treatment?
Like grounding?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard of it, and I'm a firm believer in it. I feel like every once in a while it's good to take and kick your shoes off and go out there and stand in the grass and just feel the energy of the earth underneath your feet, man. It's relaxing.
Well, here's my little deal on it. You look at the Aborigines, man, sleep barefoot and naked on the floor of the doggone forest and stuff, and they created a boomerang. Very technical device that Captain Cook, you know, couldn't believe it is one of the most sophisticated rotating sailplanes ever made. And you know, they got to be healthy. They are healthy.
Were until white man settled here, mate. Yeah. it was actually Scottish Gary, was it? No, it wasn't actually. It was, and now I'm going to go blank. It was Jacques who gave me a link the other day. On this grounding, and they were discussing how it's an equilibrium with Earth, and that you become, because you wear rubber soles, shoes, and all the rest of it, you're insulated from ground, so you become at a potential difference to the Earth. So, as any one of us would do, I wandered out the backyard with my multimeter in my hand. And I connected one end of my multimeter up to my earth state to give me my zero ground reference. And I held on to the end of the multimeter. Now, I couldn't honestly correlate the difference. I could feel a connection with the earth, but as far as electricity went, mind you, I didn't have a static meter. I only had an AC and a DC meter, because I would think static would have much more of a play in this situation than AC or DC currents.
Did you have it set down in the millivolt range?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's so much of a electrical thing as more of a metaphysical thing.
Frequency.
Well, I know that... If you could probably try this out yourself. If you're anywhere in the city, and you'll notice that you feel a little bit more agitated. But if you, the farther you get out away from the city, out into just nature itself, way out in the country somewhere, we notice this every time we leave where we're at and go down to visit her father. He has 360 acres out in the country, and the difference in the way that you feel out there as opposed to the way you feel here is a significant difference. You feel a whole lot happier out there.
Could attribute that scientifically really quickly to smog pollution and all, and just the hustle and bustle and all the rest.
Well, I agree to some extent, but I still believe there's something to it because of the actual way that I feel when I'm way, 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 way from everything out here. You know, all the Wi-Fi signals and radio stations and stuff like that, and you get out there.
Cell phones.
Yeah, it has a calming effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thinking about all this, whoever built the pyramids, they must have known a few things. That's all I can say because of, like James was saying earlier, the precision that was gone into building these pyramids and the fact that, one side faces true north like that and the way that it's built, I know for a fact that pyramids are a perfect antenna. So, what do you guys think the purpose of them pyramids were initially? Because, they said there's no hieroglyphs inside the pyramids, which would be like in the king's chamber.
Knowing what Tesla was trying to achieve and the way he was trying to achieve it, and knowing the construction of the Great Pyramid, you can only surmise that it was some sort of a power harnessing device.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking, because, they said that... If you're actually inside that thing and they're looking like you look at the walls, there's no soot up the wall. So how would they have lit their way through that thing if they were inside of it?
Mirrors don't work.
It's a lot of good valid questions come out of there when you look at the pyramid. It's still one of the great mysteries of the world here.
Mm. Oh yeah. Go, buddy.
Well, I look at it, I think that, neutrinos travel all the way through the Earth and is pretty much claimed to be the cosmic force. And that's what powers the Tistatica and all there. So I don't think being inside, even if you're in the dead center of the pyramid, I don't think it's going to make a hill of beans as far as not being able to, for the energy to reach you. I think the whole thing resonates, has frequency, and, it doesn't matter.
There's a part missing, mate. There's a part missing. Moses buggered off with it. It's written in the Bible.
I didn't hear that. Say again?
Well, I said, there's a part missing. Moses buggered off with it. It's even written about in the Bible. He took the power of Egypt with him.
Huh. So,
he took the Ark of... The Ark of the Covenant. Ark. Ark. Spark. Ark. Ark of the Covenant. It was the driving force that resonated the rest of the pyramid. That's my personal theory. I could be way off. I've never even been there, But it just sort of seems that two and two goes together.
Wow,
it's pretty fascinating.
The cool thing was he could carry it around in a box and not have to build a 600-ton stones and stuff like that.
But didn't it also say in there that thing had the power to take down armies?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's pretty powerful.
That's right. Yep.
So there's a lot about history that I wish that we could get a hold of all the answers to. If we could answer all the mysteries of the seven wonders of the world and like all these different...
There'd be no adventure in that.
Yeah, but I still want to know.
Patience, brother, patience.
Part of the problem is that all the documentation that, all the books and everything that they, the papyrus scrolls, which didn't last through history, were destroyed by some other religious faith.
Yeah, it's a pretty messed up deal.
You take a look at the Mayan codexes. The Christians came over to Maya... and they burned them. They burned them as fast as they could find them. They went down to the Easter Island, and they took all of their little codexes that they had and burned them so that nobody would know why they put those stones up there, how they put them up there.
Yeah, Easter Island, didn't the material that they used for those statues over there, didn't that come from
somewhere completely different? Yeah.
600 or 800 miles away or something like that?
Yeah, you know, you're not getting it there in a bark canoe, mate. I don't care who you are.
But you see, when you have written documentation from a long time ago that goes against whatever your current belief system is, the victors always get to write history. So if they burn it, then you don't know.
Yeah.
So there we go. Suppressed technology. And,
at the end of the day, here's all these poor buggers out there trying to decipher hieroglyphs and things like that. What if that was just merely, artwork? That had absolutely no correlation to a language whatsoever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this one over here was made by my granddaughter, and yeah.
Really, buddy?
Huh.
There's a another subject I wanted to talk about too, as well. When we were talking about doing our pop boat contest, I saw a video the other day, and this guy is taking some pipe, some metal pipe, and he's putting vegetable oil inside this pipe, and he's putting a glass tube around the pipe, and he's using the sun to heat the oil in there, and he's getting temperatures at 190 and above.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, why couldn't you miniaturize that and put it in a pop boat? Don't everybody jump at once.
Just try to get my head around the concept of making 190 degrees in oil from...
I look at it this way, which is, you've got to have power input to get power output. And the power output, I mean, you're going to have to keep on boiling that. You have to keep reaching temperatures up to 212 degrees. I don't think a pop-up boat will carry something big enough to keep that fuel supplied.
Well, I'll have to
Able to absorb it fast enough.
I'll have to find a link to that video, but it's pretty impressive. You could use this for quite... What the deal is, he's going to try to make a car, and he's going to try to make it run off of steam, but he's going to use the sun to heat this oil to actually boil the water.
Yeah, what's that look?
With no array for focusing?
No, it's just a glass tube around a metal pipe. It holds the heat in. The glass tube does.
Yeah, well, you can make coffee and everything in those solar evacuated tubes and stuff, but it takes like 20-30 minutes before it reaches boiling. But it'll get to a mad boil after a while. But it takes a while, you know. That's not really much. It's storing the energy until it gets there because it's not leaking it out. But once you try to start using it, it's like not having that glass tube on the outside. You might as well have a regular pipe in the sun. You see what I'm saying? I don't think it's gonna. I think he's heading for a brick wall as far as that goes.
Well, yeah, I'll keep you informed. I watch his videos. I'm subscribed to him, so if he gets any kind of success out of it, I'll let you know. I'll give you some links.
Oh yeah, definitely. Prove me. Prove what I think is wrong. I'd be more than happy to. But.
Yeah, I just thought it was another interesting concept that I wanted to throw on the table there.
It really is. I think it can be used for other things, though. I mean, like heating your house.
Yeah. If you made a big enough array, like them soda pop can heaters outside, and instead you used oil-filled metal tubes to circulate through that system, you could probably get quite a bit of heat out of that.
Now, I bet you can get that oil to heat up above, way above 200 degrees and stuff, and just keep on, if you got a good enough dealer, and you could probably make a small little deal, keep flashing steam like the pop-up boat, but, it'll be bigger than the pop-up boat. I'm pretty sure you can generate the electricity off it with the steam. I think it'd be sweet.
Well, it's like I said, it's worth taking a look at, because I watched his experiments. He was getting over 190 degrees out of it. So a couple modifications, and maybe he's got something there. Who knows? Only time will tell.
Heck, the weed eater was an invention like that, something that nobody else thought of, and That's part of science and invention, man, is looking at things other, trying to find something that somebody else hadn't thought about yet.
So, anyway, where do we go to from there?
Mm. Wow, it's just like subject matter overload.
Huh. It's got your brain a-ticking, don't it?
Yep.
So what do you think you can do with this directional antenna on your Tesla coil?
Well, I don't know if you needed to extend your range and you wanted all the energy to go in a specific direction, it would be useful. Or, you know, I don't want to see nothing like that as a military weapon. That's not the whole concept. It was just to see if I could actually do it. You know, because I know the field around the top load of a Tesla coil is in a spherical shape, and you can actually test that yourself. You can follow with your AC meter tester, and you can bring it in a perfect sphere all the way around that entire field. And so with that said, I wanted to see if I could take it and as literally shape it and point it in one direction, and it functioned just like I thought it would.
Hmm. I think it would be awesome if you could get Sparky to light up over there in your house.
Yeah, it's really easy to build, too. The hardest part for me was to actually wind that center coil, because it's like a 4-inch piece of PVC that I used, and I had to tape one of the end of that wire real tight to a metal pipe and just twist it really hard. It took me several hours to get it to actually be small enough to fit inside that tube, but it makes a good secondary on that thing. And then the other secondary that's on outer layer of the capacitor layer is wound just like your normal Tesla coil, and they're connected at the bottom, so you have literally a splitting of the energy. Goes one portion of it goes inside and one goes outside, and it sandwiches that capacitor layer in between the two fields, which gives it a real hefty charge.
That sounds sweet.
Worked out really good.
Hey, I'm going to have to bug on out of here. I got to go pick up Sam and take him to work, and then I'll probably be back after the show is over. Appreciate you having me on, and enjoyed everything, and learned a little bit, even from Sir Swaggart. I appreciate you. I had a ball this morning helping you with, trying to help you get on the show on time. And
yeah, I didn't know whether I was early or late.
But I will put that pot up on my page there, and heck, you might as well take it, put it wherever you want there. And Jeff Kelly told me to tell you howdy, howdy, and hope your baby is fine and all that stuff. So.
Oh yeah, she's doing really good. Good healthy baby. She's cute like Grandpa. Ah!
It's y'all's positive attitude. I'll tell you what. You know, I wouldn't let my wife get mad. Every time she got mad, I'd start picking on her about that fire in her eyes and kiss me, baby, hurry before the caterpillar start wiggling and all that. And she said, I can't stand it. I can't get mad at you. Why do you do that to me? I said, because I don't want to see you mad. And when our baby came out, it didn't cry. It didn't rant. It didn't do anything. All he did was play and laugh and hug and love everybody. So the state that the baby's mind is while it's in the womb is a great thing. And so you know what, I think you got a wonderful family because you're all wonderful, and I think the family is going to carry on that tradition, and it is a wonderful blessing, and I hope you reap all the benefits of that.
Well, my friend, you've been a blessing in our lives too, and I appreciate it. I appreciate you doing the shows for us yesterday so that we could actually go to the hospital and be there with my daughter and the baby and all that. That's really cool to me, man. Thanks.
Hey, it was great timing for me, too, so
it worked out well.
it spurred me, and between that and Jeffrey Kelly, it spurred me to go ahead and, because every time I sit there and I said, yeah, I think I can get this with voice up on this, and it was always a failure. Then I'd sit there, and in the daytime, the airwaves are taken. And I haven't had a chance to do a test. I said, well, it looks like I'm going to be here a while. And let's see what I can do. Well, I just let it go on auto DJ there for a bit and jumped in a few times and kept going back and forth. And I looked at the VU meters. I checked all the sound levels, and I had Jeff on there, and he was willing to hang on because he was all gung-ho for getting on the air. And, you know, I was gung-ho for getting him on there. I said, oh, shoot, yeah, let's do this, man. Everything's falling together. It was a beautiful day for me. It was great. It was just as good for me as it was for you, Bub. So,
cool.
And now I have capabilities, and all it took was just plugging a speaker into my laptop and a little microphone in there. You wouldn't believe what I was using for a microphone for him to hear me. The microphone I had, I went doink and ruined the circuit on it, so I stuck a set of earbuds. I plugged it into the microphone jack, and I was talking into one of the earbuds, and I had it right there on the corner of my lip, so I wouldn't be going poof, 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 as I was talking. And he had a little trouble hearing me off and on until I found that sweet spot, and he said, oh, it sounded like a regular microphone, but I had to have it right there touching my lips, and it worked out real good. But the audience, they got the benefit of the D-104 and the speaker that came off the laptop, and actually it sounded good. And when I went back and listened to the pod, it sounded, you know, the last show there that we had with Jeff Kelly, it was real hard to understand him. I'll tell you what, when I listened to that pod, it sounded like a normal Skype, and I could understand every word he said. He still had a little trouble here and there understanding me, but I went ahead and fixed the other microphone, so I'm up 100%, and I call that a blessing. And it was a blessing to take one of my Freedom Fighter heroes on the air. It was great. We did 7.5 hours yesterday. Thank you very much.
Cool. A marathon.
That'll burn out of you quickly enough.
Oh, no, I've done several, about 8 and 9 hours, but doing it live, mostly talk, yeah, it kind of wore me down. The brain uses 90% of the body's energy, and they say a preacher uses more energy than a guy loading furniture, so I believe it's right.
Well, with
I
that,
used to load furniture.
With that said, what do you say we... What do you say we take a break and throw a couple tunes on there and get some coffee and come back and finish off the night?
Beautiful.
Hasta la bawa. I got to run. Many good things to you and yours and all the people out there.
All right. Everybody. Peace and love, brother.
Peace and love. When we're winning, we'll be singing. I get no
it's in the night away. the Zoom of the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I got my honorable knight, Cultus, there. How you doing there, brother?
Pretty good, Mike. Pretty good. Not as good as you, though, Grandpa.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, man. I just...
Man. I'd be jealous, actually.
I thought by the time I got up to being a grandpa stage that that would be a bad thing, you know, because that means I'm getting old and stuff. But but it is kind of neat, man. It's an honor. I just... It's one of those miracles of life, man.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? It's, you know, the human body can create a whole other human body.
Yeah, I think that with that said, people need to really look back on their lives and see that there is a lot of true blessings in this world. You know, there's in the midst of all the chaos, there is some things that are just amazing.
Yeah.
So, where do we go to from here, man? We had a lot of different...
I don't know,
buddy.
We've got a huge night as it is.
Yeah, a lot of different things, subjects that were brought up, from everything from ranging from the pyramids to the death ray and the pop-pop boats. And man, I just tell you, if you can't find a way to keep busy after listening to the Knights of the Round Table... And you need to listen
just
harder.
Just not trying hard
enough. Yeah.
Turn the volume up. Pay a bit more attention.
We got all kinds of ideas.
So, pop-pop bike competition.
Yeah, well, I've got my design in my head. I haven't started
in your head. I've had a bit more of a play around with my idea. I think I'm all good. Now, mind you, though, listeners, remember that Shaziz and I won't be in this with any chance of winning. We're just doing it for fun, because I actually had one young fella from Russia comment on one of our videos during the week and say he already knew who the winners were going to be, and so I questioned him because I kind of figured I knew what his answer was, and I'm like, all right, who do you think's going to win? He goes, oh, you for sure, Bob. But you know, Shaziz has got some good ideas. and so I quickly replied to him and said, well, in actual fact, you know, this isn't all be running the competition, you know, we can't actually enter it, you know, or have any chance of winning it. So
no, it's for the people out there, man. I want to see a lot of creative ideas with this thing. There's so many different possibilities using solar and thermal and everything under the sun. I love your idea with the induction heating. That was amazing.
Yep. That little coil engine I built up, that was pretty cool. But as you saw in the video, it certainly had some thrust in it. So it'd be interesting to see. You know, someone with some soldering skills out there, if they were to maybe start off with, say, a half-inch pipe for the actual coil section, and then bring it out into a bunch of branches of quarter-inch, give it the pressure, I'd actually really like to see how that would turn out.
I think that would turn out pretty well.
Yeah, I think it would, because it'd give it the area to create the steam, but then give it nowhere to go, which would give you all your thrust.
And I noticed in that video you pointed out about none of the when you made your coils, that none of the coils are actually touching each other.
Yeah, no, because of the way, you know, if you're going to use a candle or some other form of heat, no problems. But with what I did, because I actually hooked mine up to electricity, so I needed the current to be able to flow through each individual line and then create temperature and create heat. So basically I was using the I was using that much energy that you know, I had to make sure that it was split apart, otherwise they just would have all arced together and I just would have had a great big chunk of melting copper and, you know.
Yeah, short, dead short. Have you?
Yeah, it would have been a dead short. Whereas the way I did it, having that coil separate, like, yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at the video, you probably couldn't even see a gap. The gap's like, you know, a millimeter between each coil, but it's so that the electricity has to run through each individual wind, you know, build up that heat And
what do you think about using a longer and a smaller tubing, like an eighth-inch coil or something like that? Eighth-inch tubing.
Yeah. I'd say, well, you couldn't.
I would think that.
I just used the coil because that's what I had lying around.
Oh yeah, that's the whole key of doing the pop
line.
Whatever you find laying around in the junk, that's what you use.
Well, you see. There's a couple of guys on YouTube who have actually built coils like mine, but much much smaller. So there's no drama. You can go down in size. You can go up in size. You just need to be able to supply the energy to create the heat.
I was just trying to think of whether a longer coil would actually make a difference as far as how much amp draw you'd actually have on that thing.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Anyway.
Did you get the file? I thought I dropped you a note. I wrote a great big huge spiel about the pop boat competition.
Did I give you a copy
of that to read through for your approval?
I probably overlooked it. I'll have to go back through.
All right. No, don't worry about it. I'll just drop another copy. It's only a text document.
All right, cool.
But that'll, I wrote two pages of information. So I'm just outlining the whole, because I know you came at this from the whole pop toy boat angle, but I'd only just come away from seeing that Sea Gypsy program on TV. So, I'm thinking about these guys who run around out there, trying to build engines out of scraps they find on, beaches, and they actually get these engines running, mate, like petrol-powered engines. And, they're bopping along out there in their little in their little boats, mate, out there, doing their little fishing and all the rest of it, keeping their families fed. But, if they could just find a strip of copper pipe and, we come up with a method of, constructing several pieces of copper pipe, maybe, we'll just talk about different sizes and all the rest of it. I mean, there's a lot of theory to go into this and then a lot of prac. But if we can come up with a motor that is solid state and will power purely off what they... These guys already cook on their boats. They have like open fires on their boats, so there'd be nothing wrong with using the coil even to contain that fire pit. Like, have that coil sitting around that fire pit. If we could just come up with a way that they can construct these motors.
Well, actually,
those boys and girls have got transport from this day to the day they die, as long as they can keep that fire going. It's not a case of I need to find another part that's going to fit this engine.
Actually, I think that if they use the kind of like the rocket stove idea and a steel pipe and a steel plate and then wrap their coils around that steel pipe, they could burn whatever they wanted inside there without worrying about melting the tubing itself, but still get the same effect out of it. What do you think?
Yeah, I can see that. But their problem with that, I don't see them building a whole new stove in the middle of their boat. Like, they've literally just got like a little fire pit.
Well, maybe they
you could sit a coil over the top of that. It would never melt. It'd be like trying to set fire to wet tissue paper,
Yeah.
The water's always going to be in the way. The cold is always going to be there to chill it back, just prior to the point that it's going to, start to melt. If you've got a fire that hot on a boat, you probably don't deserve a boat.
Yeah, melt a hole right through your boat.
Yeah, well, they're obviously aluminium hulls or whatever that they're able to do this in the first place. And I'm tipping, if your fire's hot enough that you're melting copper, the bottom of your boat's pretty close.
So don't fire your stove with magnesium.
Yes. Or magnesium powered thermite.
Yeah, there you go. It'll weld a hole right through your boat.
It'll weld a hole into your boat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right there, if we just weld it straight in there for you.
We're going down.
Take a whole paddle.
Well, the whole idea is to have fun, but be safe at the same time. So
yeah, I mean, proof of concept is fine. If you get this sucker running in a bathtub or in a lake or something, a little dam or something, no worries. We don't expect you to, get out the back, flip your dad's tinny over, grab a splay bit from out of his shed and his electric drill and start, you know, taking holes out the bottom of his boat, try to fit a few boils in there, and, you know, no. A chunk of wood floats. You can sit stuff on a chunk of wood.
Yeah. Like,
it doesn't even have to be a boat shape. It can be a raft. It can.
All it has to do is move.
Creative. Yeah. You know, I mean, it has to move under its own power. And, the more randomness that we see in parts, like that you have just literally... You walked outside one day and there was a piece of rubber sitting in your driveway that fit that bit perfectly, so you picked it up and brought it inside. You know?
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Absolutely no explanation what they were for previously. Excuse me, one second.
I want to see a lot of creativity. I can't wait to get really going into this pop boat contest because I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I think it's going to be an awesome little competition. And I think during the week we'll suss out some prizes.
All right, and I will. I'll check out this letter. I'm going to be going back up to the hospital here today after I get off my show here to visit with the baby and my daughter. And so then
gotta
later
bring the
on,
bring the other baby home, don't you?
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. We're bringing one of my granddaughters home for 7 days so that mom can recuperate.
Yep.
That ought to be fun.
I know everything she says.
I know. You got the inside scoop, brother, and sometimes I got to come to you for information. See, that's what's amazing. You're in Australia and I'm in America, and so, hey, cultists, what's
going
on today?
You're in the same house with the person I'm getting my information for. That's what's funny.
Yeah.
And I'm 10,000 miles away gathering more info than you.
That's cool, man. Hey, Coltus, what's on the agenda today?
This is the amazing, absolute brilliancy of social media. I mean, we're out here in the middle of the South Australian desert. Today, my mother-in-law posted a post on her Facebook wall. And even though we're miles and miles away, and we have no friends specifically in this area... We somehow or other, I don't know exactly where she got it from, but she came across a post for a missing young girl. It's actually from my hometown.
Well,
here I am, some 1,200 k's away, and it's just there. Yeah, I picked up a Facebook post there off Chrissy McMahon's wall. Few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure it was Chrissy anyhow, and these people were busting a gut trying to find these three horses a new home. Now Chrissy's in America, I'm in Australia, I'm in South Australia, and this post originated from the bottom of Victoria in Australia.
Wow.
So, you know what I mean, like the vastness of social media, like this is our tool, this is the one thing. You let them... Well, no. You boys are lucky enough to still have two things. Don't let them take off you. One being your firearms. The other is the internet. For us silly bloody Aussies, well, I'm just going to hang on to the flame and internet. It's all we got left. You know? Well, it is.
Well, we were talking about a while back doing an alternative internet just in case, you know, and so that's another something to put there on the table to work out different wireless methods by which to...
See, I had a bit of a social experiment with that. Did you follow my social experiment in the Facebook, in the YouTube comments there?
No, I probably missed that too.
I pitted Kent and another friend of mine from here in Australia. I didn't really pit them off against each other. They found each other. They started their conversation, but I just threw it in. I go, all right. For this to work, it's going to have to get standardised. All right, because you can't have Joe Blow down the road with this brand name stuff, and you down the road there with this brand name stuff, and it conflicts with that, and you know what I mean? The whole
the whole VPN would just, which stands for virtual private network, the whole VPN would come to a grounding halt because people would just think it's crap and useless because it never works.
Yeah.
So it has to have a standardization. This is what we, the people, use.
And it needs to be easy.
This is what we, the people, are going to implement. This is how we, the people, use it. Now, if that cannot be reached, then the whole thing falls.
So, if we can actually get a...
I think they managed about 4 comments. And the conversation trails off.
Huh.
So, you see, you've got 2 people, and, like, you know what Ken's background is, so you know he knows his stuff when it comes to wireless internet.
Yeah.
I know Tradie Trev, and I know he's no Ken, but he's the next best thing most blokes are going to meet next to Ken. When it comes to wireless technology. Well, yeah, the two of those could not fathom out, one, where each other was coming from, and then come to even a discussion, to even begin discussing, like, you know, a standardisation.
Well, I know
and
that...
And without that standardisation, a virtual private network, for the people internet, is going to fail. It is 110% going to fail for the exact reason I said earlier, is that so-and-so's hardware is not going to work with other fellow's hardware down the road, which means you further down the line aren't going to get a connection. The whole thing's flawed. It's crap. It's useless. No one wants to use it. No one does. And once you don't have these little nodes everywhere, all these people with their little wireless connections, you lose this whole mesh.
Well, he pointed out there was some packet radio stuff going on in the ham radio community. So, you know, they were doing something similar to this, but like you said, it needs to be something standardized and something easy in order for everybody to understand how to do it.
That's right. So, you know, that was my little social experiment. I wanted to see if 2 people I knew had the brains to fathom it out between them could, and it didn't.
Didn't
the conversation
so well.
Never progressed far enough to get there, so I don't see how we can expect a few million people to catch on and pick up the same equipment and run with. Like, it's as great as it would be, I don't think it's going to happen, mate.
Well, there's still the possibilities of going back in time and using things like the acoustic coupler and CB radios. I mean, I know it seems a little difficult to figure out, but essentially the only thing the computer's listening for is all them tones.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember back to them for the older, or the younger listener, rather. You may remember back to the days of dial-up. Some of our older listeners will most certainly remember back to the days of dial-up, when you would get that noise coming through the back of your computer. Speak to me in bud, brother. spelled B-A-U-U-D, not... Yeah, anyway.
But it's still, like I said, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. And a lot of this stuff right now you can still get a hold of, you know, via eBay or thrift shops or flea markets and stuff like that. So I think I'm going to go out and do a little shopping and see if I can't come up with a couple of these and actually put a system together to send, you know, a wireless transmission across, you know. That way, you know, you can see if it can be done out of junk. Obviously, you can do it out of good stuff as well.
Yep. No, that's very true, mate.
And that's basically what OSHA's Mad Science Lab's all about. Everything that I use in my Mad Science Lab is all recycled stuff. It's all junk. And my point is just that if you can do it out of junk, you can imagine what you can do it with real good quality equipment. But being able to do it out of junk means that you can scavenge through your house, the worst case scenario, and build you a generator that'll at least charge some batteries for you.
That's it. So like my, I don't know if you saw, I think you might have left a comment on it, my little whippersnipper generator I put together the other day.
Don't remember if I did or not. Just got
a whippersnapper motor. Ripped all the front end off it there with all the, you know, all the cabling that goes down to the actual rotor down the bottom there. Pulled all that off. Grounded myself down a piece of all thread. Which what do you call it? You don't call it all thread.
Yeah, it's same thing.
Same thing. Someone corrected me the other day and told me you guys call it something different.
I call it all thread.
You call it all thread?
Yep.
Yeah, I call it all thread. It's all thread, man. It's not that complex. So I ground down one end of a bit of all thread, made a nice little square insert that would slip inside the front of the rotor there of the whippersnapper, and connected that up to a 24 volt one of those little kids electric scooter motors.
Yep.
And set the revs with the idle to get the voltage I want. Bob's your uncle, mate.
Right.
On. I think it's about 190 watt 24 volt charger.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I'll have to go back and look at that video, make sure I did comment on it.
Man, I'm pretty sure you did. But anyway, don't know if you didn't.
Sounds like you feel the way I do, brother.
Where'd that come from, hey?
we didn't get to sleep till after midnight last night.
Well, you know what? That means you had more sleep than me.
Oh, well, that's right. You're on a different... I keep forgetting that you're on a different time zone than me.
Yeah, but no, I just haven't been sleeping properly lately, dude.
You better get some rest, man. I'll tell you what.
I didn't sleep last night. This time last week, I spent 3 nights awake. I was just amusing Chrissy and Muddy for hours upon hours at a time.
It sounds like you guys had a good time on the show.
No, we did. It's quite a barrel of laughs, actually. Kent not being in the central time zone didn't really know. But I had Muddy telling me, no, you're on an hour earlier, you're on an hour earlier. So I started getting everyone organised. Had this huge post ready to write up on Shazir's radio's wall in case she didn't turn up. And I dropped Bev a message and just said, Shazir's is fine, I had to get up, don't worry, we got it all. And,
Well,
then he realised he was an hour out the wrong way.
Ah.
After I'd already raced around like Endless Chuck and chopped him up an intro and.
Well, I was looking at the clock.
This is the behind the scenes things that Shazir always refers to.
Yeah, I was looking at all the clocks and thinking, oh man, I'm late, and I'm running around and I'm looking at other clocks and they're saying different things, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Freaking Twilight Zone, man, don't do this now.
Yeah, whoever thought of daylight savings time must have wanted to aggravate people.
Oh, they obviously didn't own cows, mate, that's all I can say.
Yeah. So I'm looking at my clock here, and we got a whole hour left according to my time schedule. What do you got?
Well, I'm done, apparently. Oh, no. That's right.
Oh, man. Any more knights want to call in and give cultists a break?
Help me!
They all bailed out on us early.
They did, man. Everyone bailed on us. We've got no one left.
That's all right. We could throw on a few tunes and take a quick nap and...
You might have to do that.
Oh, man.
I at least need to go get a coffee. I didn't get a coffee last time. I just went and had a smoke.
Well, I will throw on a couple tunes. You can go get some coffee and I'll jump on my YouTube if I can get there and see if I can find that link so that you can see that one particular video that I was talking about where the guy's heating up the oil.
Yes, I'd realize that. Because I fully understood where Muddy was coming from. But at the same time, if you had enough heat generated in there, I don't know. It's, yeah.
Well, he showed, if I'm pretty sure I'm correct, he showed in the video that the heat retained for quite a while after he shut it off.
Which, see, if you had cold water running through it...
Yeah, that would definitely be a factor in there, but I'm thinking...
Like that's the cruncher for me. That's the thing that's making my ears prick up.
But you also got to... You also got to think, too, though, you're as far as the pop-pop portion goes, that you're going to be generating steam inside that tube, so it would change the temperature difference going on.
It would, but steam and water, really, I mean, there's not much temperature change difference between the two.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, still, it's an interesting concept, more to factor
in. Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, it's just going to be one of those things, like, you know, just give it a go, mate, you know. Well, having a good yuck today with Kent about some stuff, and, you know, he's going, well, I just don't see how this particular device would work, and well, I actually used a bit of profanity, but I won't now. I said, bugger science, don't worry about the science. All it has to do is do what it claims to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we are living in a time right now where if someone replicates what you and I are trying to do, I mean, someone other than us actually pulls off a Tesla Wardenclyffe replication that hits the right frequency and just powers light bulbs throughout the planet, and, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that some of these different configurations, because if you notice, I got several different configurations for Tesla coils. I don't just go with the just the generic. I try different windings. I've even tried like bifilar windings and stuff like that to see the differences in the field. Now, this one that I did called Death Ray, I'm pretty impressed with this coil. And if you have an opportunity to duplicate that, you'll see what I'm talking about. It at the very least retains its energy. I mean, there's no decrease in energy, and the secondary, which would have normally been the primary on that coil, has a lot of power to it when you touch it to the ground.
Yeah.
So I think it's still worth a lot more research.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and throw in a couple tunes there.
All right, buddy.
Yep. Give me a chance to get you some coffee, and we'll come back and try to finish off this, I think, the 65th or 66th night of the round
table. I think you might be right. I think it might even be 66th, mate.
Cool.
It's getting mighty close. I know you are. Actually, no, further. We are right. 66.
When we get to 100, we got to have a party.
We're going to have the biggest 100th. Show ever. It's just going to be insane. I'm thinking we might even chuck a Google Hangouts in on the show or something.
Hey, that would be awesome.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
By that time, I should be up in the new studio and be able to handle a lot more traffic.
Yep. Well, sounds like a plan, mate.
All right, I got some tunes for us.
Yep, do it.
Peace
and
love, everybody.
Stopping at the Lord Cafe back. something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then, as long as you'll be my friend at the end. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman my kryptonite. You call me strong, you call me weak, but still your secrets I will keep. Took for granted all the times I never let you down. You stumbled in and bumped your head. If not for me, then you'd be dead. I picked you up, put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might.
Ladies, don't stop the rock.
see, and what did I see? The girls were wearing leather skirts and see-through jeans. I asked the DJ to tell me what was going on. He said, please stop having a free
This old King Shaziz the Terrible got my honorable knight Cultus with me, and here we are. Cultus, you've been like really at it for the last multiple hours, haven't you, brother?
I have, man. I have. This is my new thing, is just for like staying up like 3 days at a time and getting a whole heap of work done and crunching tons of information with everyone and staying awake to talk to all the people all over the world and then crashing really, really hard.
Well, you know you're going to make yourself an old man real quick, right?
No, I've just got to surround myself with some more ozone in a few hours. I'll be okay.
Yeah, you know, when I'm out here running my experiments with all these coils running, I feel great.
Yeah.
I'm energized.
Yep.
Literally. And then we were talking earlier about taking taser hits.
Yeah. No, they're the wrong kind of ions, those ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But anyway, so we've covered a wide range of subjects. I sent you a link over to that video. What's your thoughts on that video there?
Okay, so yeah, like we were discussing off air, the concept is there, but the major difference between what he had going on there and what you would be doing with the pop boat is he had an inert liquid that he was trying to heat. It wasn't flowing, whereas the one that you would design would have a liquid flowing through it. So you might find it needs something extra in there to compensate.
Yeah, like maybe separating the two units from themselves, like have the heater standing above, and then somehow or another the water being heated further on down the line, something like that.
Yep. Yeah, something exactly like that.
So, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, and it's just another example that there's all kinds of different methods by which we could actually do this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be rushing into that particular design head strong and headlong straight off the bat. I'll be fiddling around with a few ideas and different coil designs and stuff first.
Well, personally, I'm pretty impressed with the... Personally, I'm impressed with the design that you got going on with that induction heating.
Yeah, no, that's just a ridiculous amount of heat, though, like, really.
Yeah, I saw where it sent that last spurt out of that pipe was pretty doggone impressive.
Yeah, man, yeah. It would be very interesting to see how it will go when it's actually submerged underwater and doesn't have that great mouthful of oxygen that it's taking in one side there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's next, coming in the next few days. I'm going to be a little bit slack on my videos in the next couple of days because my new camera runs on like store-bought batteries.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Better get you one of them solar chargers, brother.
Well, do you know what I learned?
What's that?
They sell in America? I learned that they sell 1.5 volt rechargeable AA cell batteries.
Oh yeah, I just bought one of those yesterday.
Sure. Well, dude, in Australia we can only get 1.2 volt.
Man.
And you cannot buy anything else unless you want to pay $100 for four batteries.
Then you can order them
special ones for my camera that are, these are the only ones you can use in this camera.
Yesterday I just bought at a flea market a charger that came with four 1.5 volt AA's.
By any chance have a brand name on it?
Probably. I can't remember it right offhand, but I only paid $10 for it and I bought it at a flea market.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The ones I was looking at, they are about $45. That's free shipping. Came with four batteries and a charger, but I looked like it was a fair brand name by the looks of things. I'm just grabbing them out of my list of stuff here. Yeah.
I guess you'd have to factor in the fact that if you're going out buying batteries all the time, then it's going to be long term.
Pay for itself, mate.
Yeah,
these will absolutely pay for themselves. I don't know if people remember, it would have been a couple of months later than this time last year, but we actually lost the battery to my video camera, as not actually physically lost them, as in they died from the heat up here in Roxby.
Oh, man.
They're RAM cells, pure energy RAM cells, 2 amp hour, 1.5 volt. Double A's. Four of them will cost you $20, free postage. Or you get the one with the charger, and it's $35 plus the four 2 amp hour batteries. I say 2 amp hour because I think saying 200 milliamp hour just is a little bit too elusive.
There's a
2000 sounds like you get a lot more than you do when you're only really getting to.
Go check out Harbor Freight, harborfreight.com, and check the prices.
Harbor Freight won't mail out to anybody.
Really?
They won't.
It could be a case. I might have to order it for you and then ship it.
Hey, really?
Hey, where there's a wheel, there's a way, brother.
Yeah, man. These are, I knew there was something about these. They're made in Canada. There you go. So that means they're going to be really polite to me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. if they stop working, the batteries are going to apologize to me, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
They'll be like, I'm so sorry for stopping working.
They'll probably, with the last bit of energy left in the batteries, have a little piezoelectric speaker come out and say, sorry about your luck. Oh, man.
See, this is how strong social media is, people. I knew what angle to take the mickey out of a Canadian, and I'm from Australia.
Oh, man.
See, if it was a South Park influence, I would have thought you all had, you know, flip-top heads that cut through in the center.
Yeah. Speaking of South Park, I got a sound clip in there. I'll have to find it while we're talking.
Oh, I hope it's got nothing to do with the first image I had in my head.
No. Anyway.
One other thing I was going to throw in about these batteries is that they will actually continue their operation at 71 degrees Celsius.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, considering that normal nickel metal hydrates, because that's what, and a lithium ion. Lithium ion was what was in my video camera, and all the garden solar lights, the nickel metal hydrate, all of them die up here. It's a guaranteed inevitability. They just die.
So maybe you can figure out a way to rig up a lead acid battery to it.
Well, see, this is I've got on another thing I'll put on order during this week is the power pack that you can buy.
Yeah.
All right, but it has a USB extension. Like, just so everyone knows what we're talking about here, in case anyone out there listening is actually looking for a reasonable camera, we're actually talking about a Coolpix L820. Now this actually has a USB slot side, but it's like most cameras, it's data transfer only, so as soon as you plug it in, the camera shuts off.
Wow.
So on the opposite side, it has a individual 5 volt adapter port, but it is of no standard plug. Alright, this thing looks like I don't even know where to begin explaining, like a cross between a freaking Molex plug and, yeah, I'm lost. Like, this thing's just freaky. It's wrong. It just shouldn't even exist. Like, maybe a mini DVI plug.
I noticed it.
Bolt those two together.
If you want to go traveling from here to there, you got a lot of different plugs over there than we got.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why can't people just get along, man?
Yeah, I know. That's when I was running around. Remember, I was running around looking for those little blooming those little earth posts.
Yeah.
Put on the Tesla coil. Well, I went to a couple of different places. I expected that my local hardware store wouldn't have a clue what I wanted, but I checked there anyway. Acceptable. Went to the local electrical trade outlet. One of, and they had no idea. It's something they'd never seen before, and very serious. All good. But then I went to Blackwoods. All right, they're another industrial supplies here in Roxby, and I had an A4 blown up picture of these things, right? And I showed the Sheila behind the counter. And she laughed at me.
Ah! That was a nice
one. Literally laughing at me like I was a fool. Not just laughing like she thought of a joke she heard 2 days earlier. She was laughing at me like I was an idiot, mate.
Jack.
Right? And that's why, like, I haven't mentioned any store names until right now, because I'm going to oust them, because you don't do that to a customer, mate, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coming in with something, you don't know what it is. Maybe you want to ask me what it is because you should be stocking it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know? I'm the consumer. I'm coming here, and you don't have what I want.
Should be like the customer is always right, ain't it?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I'm just kind of putting two and two together. If you sell stuff, you know, and you're meant to sell what I want, and I come in and you don't have it, would you laugh at me, or would you then take my order?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
I would
any smart businessman would make sure next time that fella came back in your shop, he had what he wanted.
I would play this South Park clip for her. Here you go.
All right.
Yes, officer? Clocked at 40 miles an hour back there. You know what the speed limit is, you know?
Well, according to that sign right there, it's 40 miles an hour.
Step out of the car, please, sir.
Wait a second. Aren't you Stan's little friend?
Sir, step out of the car, please.
Yeah, you're the one who always plugs up the toilet at our house.
I am a cop, and you will respect my authority.
Yeah, right. You better get back to school, little boy.
Ow!
Get your ass in jail!
Ow! Hey, what the hell are you doing? You can't do that! Ow! 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 Ow!
It sounds kind of like
that
the...
That wasn't a county, Manny.
Sounds like the local cops.
Oh, the poor Canadians are just copping it from cold you tonight, aren't they?
Yep.
And I don't even know if I've been offensive, so hey, like, this is lighthearted from my end. If I upset you to that point, deal with it.
Respect my authority!
There we go. If I upset ya, sorry about your luck, mate.
Sorry about your luck. Hey, me and my buddy went fishing one time, and if you could have seen it, it was a real hoot. We were trying to have like a fishing contest, and like he would be at one side of the lake there, and then I would come running past him with my fishing pole, and I'd holler, "Sorry about your luck," and run down to the next fishing spot. And then after a little while, he'd come running by, and he'd holler, "Sorry about your luck."
Nice.
Oh, man. That's funny.
That's good stuff.
Well, okay, so where are we going from here? We talked about the pop boat. We talked about the Egyptians. We talked about earlier oblong skulls from the ancient people. And, man, we've covered a lot of subjects, different frequency ranges. And
dude, have we ever.
Is this show over yet?
No, you still got half an hour, since this is.
All right, well, I got a lot of projects in the works, man. I can't wait to get some videos out. But my death ray video, I got a thumb down on it. I was wondering what that was all about, but it was a pretty good little video, I thought. Anyway, yeah. I'm not gonna stress over that. But
I think you might find some people are a little bit skeptical as to the last portion of that video.
Well, the last portion of that video is the doggone. It's just jacking with the camera, and I put it into. Yeah. If they read the description, they would see that I said don't aim it towards your camera.
Yeah.
Because it's literally sending out a frequency which is disrupting the camera. I mean, you can see it; it's disrupting the monitor in the background. Hmm. And until I faced it towards my camera, the audio was fine. So. I never said it was slowing down time. I said it was jacking up the camera.
So maybe there's a bit of a miscommunication between you and one of your subs.
Apparently.
Maybe, because I'm pretty sure you're under the impression that it was to do with some form of time dilation.
Well, in the digital world, it was time dilating the camera.
Yeah, when we get down to waveforms, yep.
Yeah. I mean, you're sending a radio frequency into that camera, literally. It was facing the camera. And so that's when the doggone thing jacked up. But the only reason why I left it in the video is because it was funny, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, to have a little bit of humor with your mad science.
I didn't see anything wrong with the video, but then again, I hadn't watched it all the entire way through.
You got to watch the last half of it. That's the best part.
Yeah, I have. Where the bloody camera starts going. The audio sync goes right out. And, starts messing with the picture.
You notice, you go back through all of my videos, anytime I get that camera anywhere near close to the frequency, depending on how far the field is out, it will start messing the camera up. Well, it's a digital camera, after all. So,
sure.
I didn't understand whenever they were like, you know, what you trying to pull there or something like that. go read the description, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And that's why, you know, I can understand a lot of folks, they'll come in there, they'll either just read the title and thumb you down, or they'll watch the video without reading the description of the video. I'm asking a valid question. It, you know, is it possible?
I don't know if you saw the post today, but on Cancel the Cabal's Facebook page there, he's got a miracle took place, right? Type news story where this woman was like trapped in her car and raging, flash flooding, and she's like, the car's gone down, and no one knows how she got out alive. In the video footage, they even point out that one of the rescuers had his hand down in the water and opened the freaking door.
Wow.
And people are commenting with their guesses on how they think. So they haven't even actually clicked on the link and gone and looked.
Yeah, probably haven't even watched the whole video all the way through. Some folks will watch the video portion part of the way through and shoot a comment out there, and then their answer comes after. You know, they just have been patient and watched it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, yeah.
No, there ain't no kind of deal in my video that's deceptive or anything like that. I told everybody right there in the doggone deal that you don't want to point it at your camera because it'll mess with your camera, and that's exactly what it did. You got to take the bad with the good, I guess.
You do, mate. You do. And even the best of your friends are going to get you wrong every now and then, mate. So. Got to expect subs to do it.
Well, I should have done an addendum onto the deal later and said, look, I know I'm going to hear it, this is from me aiming my death ray at the camera. But, I put in a description, I told everybody, so just read the doggone description, man. Dumb me down if you don't like my video, that's cool and everything, but don't get crazy on me.
I'm pretty sure you and I have both the same resident thumbs, drive-by thumbs down there, mate.
Yeah, that dude, he's just persistent, man.
He is, man. He gets like at least every second video.
They'll come on there and tell you.
He doesn't dislike me as much as he dislikes you, though.
Yeah. They'll come on there and tell you.
Now it's like maybe every fifth video he's getting on. Maybe he catch you like every video.
I've been called everything under the sun. This last time around, some jive turkey called me something. Shit, I was a pathetic fraud. And I'm like, dude, try reading the doggone description before you go, saying stuff like that.
Do you know what might help you? This is if I've got something really important in the description, I will actually put an anecdote at the front of a video. You know how you can put in those like little speech bubbles and stuff?
Yeah.
I actually put one of those in with like big text that'll say "very important, please read description."
Well, I'm gonna have to start doing that because I've been called everything under the sun, man. I mean, I'm like this. When people come on my YouTube channel, they're guests at my YouTube channel, and I don't want them reading filthy comments on there. So, if they're gonna come on there and they got constructive criticism and they want to like just tell you, maybe you ought to do this instead of that, or I don't think this works or whatever. That's all good because I want. The whole purpose of my Mad Science channel is for people to think outside the box and stop following, what you were told to be the truth, the laws of physics, Think for yourself, for Pete's sake. That's how good things get invented. Don't come on there and follow blindly or anything like that. I welcome constructive criticism, comments, and thinking outside the box, but for Pete's sake, you don't got to come on there and be all kinds of rude and call everything under the sun, be insulting. And I don't want my YouTube viewers to have to read through filth in order to find some good information.
No, that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, you only have to go through my fraudster assassination videos to learn all kinds of new words. There's words in there I've never even known how to pronounce, let alone you can call someone.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I pose this to everybody else. Try it. Try to build it. If you need diagrams, I'll ship you diagrams and you build it. If it doesn't work for you, then come on there and tell me, look, fraudster assassinate me. I don't care, you know. All I want is for you.
If I have a fraudster assassinate you, because you'll know.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it, because, you know, everything that I say, if I put it on there, you know, it's important information.
Don't get me wrong. If ever I needed to, I would, but you're a mate. I'll give you grace first and come talk to you. Whereas well, other people, when I see that, it's dead set, but yes. You've seen me.
Yeah.
I give them the mail.
I just, you know, I want people to think outside the box. That's just plain and simple. I mean, yeah. As far as free energy, if you can't find free energy, you're not looking for it. The whole earth around you is energy. You just need to learn how to tap into it. It's already there. You know, and we're trying to find the Holy Grail, something that will actually function using the existing inefficient system so that we can run everything just the way it is now, you know, and that's the slow point. That's what the hard part. And that's why bringing all brilliant minds from all different nations together with little contests like this pop-pop boat thing is where ideas come about, and that's where the answers we'll find the answers. Do you agree?
Yeah, totally, mate. It's going to be in collaboration. We all have it in the back of our minds, you know. Well, if someone else gets there first.
That's
you
fine.
Know, but then you have the other thought, which is, well, good, though. You know, like, you should, to be a human being, you need to be in both those frames of mind. You know?
Well, truthfully...
You need to sort of have that... I really hope I'm the first one, you know. Like, I don't really want to have done all this for nothing.
If you but, modify all the...
Hang on, mate. That was very important what I just said then. That I wasn't the first one to get there. But someone else got there. And chances are that somewhere around, they've heard some information that has come from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't succeed at this, and I do... There is not a solitary person in the world that could turn around and say, she's had nothing to do with that.
Well, I agree.
You know what I mean? Because one, you've helped keep me grounded. Alright? You've given me a bit of a place in the free energy community. And amongst a whole heap of really good people like Live Mike, James Swagger, and Chrissy, and people who can promote us and get us right out there if necessary, you know, like, These are all extremely important things as well, you know. I mean, but it's the what am I trying to say? Shazis.
Well, using your term, at the end of the day, we're not trying to fraud anybody. We're trying to open minds and get people to looking into all these different things that are already available, and they've been available since the 1800s, and probably even further back than that.
Damn good chance.
And so, you know, with that said. Every idea is important.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you might not be the person who comes up with the end thought, but I guarantee you, every one of us will have had some form of an effect on that result.
Yeah.
Whether it was my opinions affected someone else's opinions, who in turn affected someone else's, who later down the track, 8 degrees of separation or 12 degrees of separation or whatever that thing is, right, has come around and has landed with the person who does.
Well, we're all using Tesla's concepts and his hard work and research from back then, and we're also using Edison, and we're using all the different alternative media guys out there, all the alternative energy guys. We're using bits and pieces of theirs, and so it's a joint effort, and so everybody gets credit as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but even more important than that, the whole universe, everything in the universe operates on a knock-on effect.
Yep.
Alright, so if I push this ball and it pushes into that ball, and it, like, that happens with atoms, that happens with everything, emotions and the way our lives just roll on, you know, it's this same reoccurring thing.
You know, if any of my ideas spark off a good idea in your head, like some of the ideas that you've had have sparked off ideas in my head. When I watched your video about the induction heating on the pop-pop, I would have never even considered that at that point. But
it was like the first thing in my head, you know, like the last thing would have been to put a candle under it.
So, you know, with that said, you influenced me just as much vice versa, and that's what this whole thing is all about. And so for the thumbs downer guy out there that hates our guts or whatever, you know.
Here's a finger up. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, have the fun.
All right, mate, we forgive you.
Have the fun now. You know, if we benefit society and we actually get a good working device that everybody can get, everybody can make, then that's what the ultimate goal is, to take everybody out from under the thumb of the doggone man that's charging you for electricity, you know. Tesla tried to do it, and they shut him down because of, you know, funding-wise. But, you know, I still believe that we can do this.
I do, too. I can personally guarantee that if a working replica was ever shown to us, that it could be arranged to have it put into practice.
Yep.
And I will put my left one on that.
When you first
know what that means.
Yeah, when you first you and I first come together and you started talking about doing a Tesla coil. And, you know, you had a lot of ideas in your head, and I told you what that thing was capable of. You surpassed that. I've seen some things in your videos that have surpassed what we were talking about initially. And so now I think you understand what I was trying to say back then, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, with that said, essentially all we're doing is harnessing nature, what nature already does, you know, baiting electrons out of the earth, and we're getting some amazing effects out there. And, you know, for folks that don't understand that everything has a frequency, I mean, think about it long enough, man. We were talking earlier about Royal Raymond Rife's, basically being able to vibrate a bad cell and cause it to explode, and the good cell sitting right next to it not being harmed. You know, frequencies make a difference. You know, that opera singer and the glass, you know, you can't deny it. You see it. That until she hits the right pitch, that glass doesn't shatter. But once she gets the right resonancy, that glass vibrates until it explodes.
And it's like an instant effect. Once she hits that frequency, once she hits that right key, bang, the glass goes. It's not even a gradual thing where it's got to, like, increase its vibration or anything like that. That frequency's hit, that glass shatters.
If somebody wants to speed this process up and find the holy grail of free energy, the way to do that would be to build the perfect signal generator that can scan through all the different frequencies known to man, and then some. That way you can test literally, you know, real time what each frequency does.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're going to get to see a couple of interesting things come up with my Tesla projects in the next few weeks. Discovered a lot of things that have come to mind with the effective use of different kinds of spark gaps. I've sat down and done a lot of pondering on what the actual differences in the waveform outputs would be in using different kinds of spark gaps. Because have you seen my video on the pinwheel rotary spark gap?
I don't think I have, but I know exactly where you're coming from already. Because
the electrode either side of a wheel that has pins running through it. So as the wheel turns, one pin that goes right through the wheel lines up with an electrode that's either side, creates an arc, moves away, breaks off, creates the next arc, and so on.
Yep.
Right. Well, with that specific type of spark gap, you're going to have more of a not like a half a sinusoidal wave. And it's going to be sort of just a curved wave, basically. Exactly the same as you would imagine, but literally a curved wave. I'm going the KISS method here. I'm going to keep it simple, stupid. We'll concentrate DC we will look at here, just for simplicity, because once you've got waveforms coming in on top of waveforms, we're not even going to sit here and discuss this over radio. It needs pictures and diagrams. But DC, we can work with that in our head. So, yeah, because, and I just put up another video about this, and there's an article on my website, which is cultus.weebly.com. Cultus is K-U-L-T-U-S, just in case you need to know that. And now what I've got going on is this particular pinwheel, as the pins draw away from it, from the electrode, it draws the arc with it. Alright. Now, from my understanding of a Tesla coil, you want more short, sharp pulses.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, let's take the exact same setup, but lose the pins.
Well,
now I've just got a perspex disc with multiple holes in its edges.
Well, the simplest way to explain what it is that you're trying to say would be to go all the way back to how Morse code actually functioned. You know, you got dots and dashes. You hold down on the button longer, that's a dash. You know, just tap the button, that's a dot. All right. Well, that's how frequencies work. You know, if you with your gap, as it's going away and it's dragging the field, it's holding it just a hair bit longer than it normally would have. Or if you take away, and then it just basically like a dot on the Morse code. So you're literally changing the frequency by the time that it actually takes to get that spark across that gap.
That's right. Yep.
Right.
Exactly. There's Muddy. He has joined us again.
Cool.
And then the third kind of spark gap that's come to mind. Now I'm completely ignoring vacuum and blow and just stock standard standalone spark gaps. Useless. Not even gonna bother. Good for you on your first setup, but you know, I mean, when you start getting serious, get rid of them. Have you seen the imagery? You would have seen the Tesla movie, haven't you? With War of the Worlds bloke in it. What's his name?
I don't know, but I know what movie you're talking about.
You do?
Yeah.
Yep, alright. Orson Welles, that's the fella I'm trying to think of. Orson Welles is in it. He plays J.P. Morgan in it. Now, there's a couple of pictures in that with Tesla, and I know this is only a stage production, but, yeah, they didn't... All the high voltage stuff they were playing with in that film was Tesla. It was all Tesla toys, mate, so it's all good. But there was one particular spark gap he had set up, and it was a multi-stage solid state. It had its two end electrodes, and it probably had about three electrodes running through the middle. So you basically had like a spark gap next to 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 a spark gap, all literally connected.
Yep.
I'm trying to mold my brain around exactly what that would do.
Well,
the more points that you have the spark jump across, the higher the voltage. Each one of them little gaps is an addition of voltage, and the fact that they're close together, you can get them to spark several times.
Hang on. An increase in voltage, so I can use that theory to increase the power in my tank circuit, can I?
Well,
right, one gap with one large long gap wouldn't be as precise. So the multiples in line series taking like a voltage divider, pretty much is what all that is. And the other thing,
someone explained it to me the other day as a current divider, then it would reduce the amount of heat and stop ripping up my little brass balls. But I'm more trying to think of it as like, trying to imagine it as a waveform in my head. Exactly what would come out the other end of that particular spark gap.
Well, I think that you would have like a wave behind wave, so you'd actually get a bumping effect of the when one fires and then there'd be one firing in the middle of it or behind it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
there is no right or wrong answer in this because I'm only theorizing it myself. So, you know, this is purely just.
We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. Might not have to turn it over on No Borders.
And we were worried about killing 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like child's play, mate.
All right, and then I think that Live Mike is coming up next. So with that said, you guys got a closing comment there before we shoot on up out of here?
Ready?
You said something about Morse code, and then we're talking about spark gaps. There was a spark gap generator that was and a coil that was used in the old dimes with CW for a transmitter as well. Just thought it was a pretty neat coincidence you put there.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about how Morse code actually works, it's dots and dashes, and so essentially shorter frequency, longer frequency, that kind of stuff, you know. It's a timing with an adjustable spark gap.
Yeah, they had a motor spinning and the sparks jumping all over that sucker. It was pretty great. You have to check it out on YouTube. I think you'd be kind of thrilled at it and might answer a question or two for you.
All right, guys, we got to roll up out of here because somebody's waiting for the stream. So with that said, it's been a great show, and thanks for everybody for being on here. Peace and love, everybody.
All right. Take care, Grandpa.
All right, thanks.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. Y'all take care.
Congratulations.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. on Raw Mid-Table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diapamela.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfill the table and the Knights of the Round Table.